is SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, you'll find it here. It's Insight Applied.
Hello, school marketers, and welcome to SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, we will be sure to talk about it here. I'm Charlie Morn, and this is episode 153 for Wednesday, April the 3rd. Yes, we're in April already, 2019. And we have a bit of musical chairs and merry-go-round in the studio at the moment as people are traveling around. So joining me in the studio for this episode, we have again, John Jiggles Eggleston, and we have our resident marketing technologist, Christian. How are you both?
Good, good. How are you, Charlie?
Very, very well. Thank you. Jiggles, how are you?
Just excellent. Thank you, Charlie.
But that is great to hear. Right, let's get stuck into it.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
So to our first piece of news, and this comes from Ben Ice from Marketing Mag, and I know that he's been used very heavily over the podcast over the previous episodes, but this is a very relevant article for us. Ben is observing that the global online advertising spend is due to exceed forecasts. So this is pretty important for us. So by 2021, it's expected that digital's share of advertising spend will surpass 60% in Australia, and that last year, internet advertising grew by 16%. Now, this is very relevant for us as school marketers because we are talking about how best to share our news, how best to advertise about our schools. And we know that often online and digital is a very cheap and cost-effective way of doing it. However, we might be looking at privacy issues. We might be looking at increased competition. So it's important for us to really get a gauge on what this changing landscape is going to mean for our schools. So talking about privacy from that standpoint first, are we about to see some changes with how we can better target schools, Christian?
Yeah, well, as everyone knows, privacy has been a big issue for a lot of the big companies recently. Facebook, Instagram, Google, Apple, they've all massively overhauled their privacy practices. And basically what that means for advertisers is that we get less information about the target audience, which makes it more difficult to target that target audience.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know from a Facebook standpoint, for example, you used to previously be able to target sort of people by their income, and that function's been stripped away, that option to target within that. So I think you're right. We're definitely going to start seeing a bit of a strip back and a pushback in terms of how well we can target people.
Yeah, and we're probably going to see sort of more and more of those options becoming unavailable when you're creating those target audiences.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's probably because we've had the function before, and now that's being taken away, we're quite conscious of it. Whereas obviously you haven't quite got this anywhere near the level of targeting in something like print or at a home that you do for digital. So John, yes, we're going to see digital becoming increasingly competitive. So in terms of looking at other platforms, I mean, where does that leave schools?
Well, schools traditionally love the old print advertising, but unfortunately that's just continuing to decline in effectiveness and in use. But out-of-home advertising is one of the fastest growing traditional mediums, traditional being outward advertising, not inbound. And that's expected to grow globally by 4.4 billion by 2021, which is a big number.
That is a very, very large number. I mean, the numbers getting thrown around don't tend to be particularly small when we're talking about online advertising.
No, big, big numbers, big, big dollars. So out-of-home advertising, that's your stuff like your screens in your shopping centers, your billboards. Their screens are popping up everywhere, actually. Like you go to your petrol station, you go down to the train station, all that sort of anything that is outside of your house, not digital, that's out-of-home. And it's only increasing in use and effectiveness.
Yeah. Something else that came out in this little report was the expectation that TV is also expected to increase by 3.7 billion. A lot of schools might not be a feasible option for them, but it's an interesting statistic.
I found that really interesting. I feel like I haven't watched TV in like a long time properly. Like maybe just walked through the lounge room and then it's been on. But
come on, millennial, do you have a TV in your house still?
Oh, it was disgust to get rid of it. Like I find that interesting. But then again, most schools aren't targeting me. They're targeting parents, and parents, I imagine, would watch more TV than their younger people.
And I think that also extends to the streaming services and the video on demand that all the channels are taking advantage of now.
Right. So not just traditional TV, freeware.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's still digital, but still TV. It's sort of like a hybrid of the two.
Okay. So, I mean, if we're seeing advertising becoming more and more competitive in a digital landscape, I mean, something that jumped off for me was that for schools, quite often you're going to be competing on it. So if we're talking about Facebook or we're talking about general digital, that schools are going to be competing with regular everyday brands. So we're actually going to find it, I think schools might find it more difficult to get their messages in front of prospective parents or their customers because it's an increasingly competitive landscape. So I think costs are probably going to go up as well. So that might be something that as we move down the track, we just know it's something that schools are going to have to put a little bit more money aside to. Mm-hmm.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
So for this episode's deep dive, it only seemed appropriate now that we've managed to steal Christian away from marketing technology things to talk about school websites. So if you've got any future deep dive topics that you want us to talk about, then please make sure you send them in. But school websites is certainly a big topic, so we'll hopefully do our best to get into as much as we can. So, right, let's talk about setup. We'll talk about types of content you should be looking at for your website, maintenance. There's a whole sort of spectrum of things to talk about. But let's talk about initially the setup of a good school website. So I heard it was a statistic, which I'm going to absolutely butcher, but that it was that WordPress makes up 60% of the online web.
Something huge like that. It's just a massive number.
But WordPress is a pretty frequently used platform.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what most of our clients generally use is WordPress. It's an open source platform, so you can basically take it to any web developer and they'll be able to update it for you.
Okay, so first question, open source. Talk to me out of code.
All right, open source, basically that means that it's a community-driven project. It's not owned by a company. Hundreds, thousands of people can contribute to this project. And the benefits of that are that if there's any security patch, you've got thousands of people working on it already.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so if a school marketer is sitting there and going, I don't think our site's WordPress, what are the other platforms they might be using for that? Anything?
There's a lot of other content management systems available, countless really.
Yeah.
But WordPress is the most frequent and you'll find that it's the easiest platform you can sort of take anywhere.
Mm. And it's got the most support and the most plugins and all that sort of stuff that goes with being the most popular thing.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, I derailed us there. So if we're talking about setup, which we're going to assume that you're talking about something like a WordPress site. So things that school marketers might need to have a rough idea about, talking about hosting and layouts and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so even before talking about your content management system, your WordPress, you want to look at your hosting. So generally for schools, you want something that's Australian-based. You want a really good backup and restore system.
If you're in Australia.
Yes, that's right. And also security is a plus, especially if you've got a WordPress website. Generally, a good web host will have WordPress-specific security.
Yep. Okay, cool. So you want to ideally look for something that's going to be around 24/7, ideally in your country, or it's going to be sort of fairly local so that you've got that online support. You're not sort of suddenly calling across the globe to get something if something shuts down.
Yeah, that's right.
So if we're talking now about plugins, what are the kind of things that school marketers need to know? What are the basic plugins they might be wanting to look at, and how do they fit in with a WordPress theme?
Yeah, well, basically a plugin adds functionality to your website. So that could be functionality on the front end. That's what people see when they go to the website. So that could be something like a calendar or an events management system, or it could be a back end sort of a quality of life, making it easier for you to run your website. So the ability to duplicate posts.
Yeah, sure. And so one that we see quite frequently are some SEO plugins.
Mm, that's a back end plugin. That basically just helps you to set up your landing pages and website to be SEO optimized.
Yeah, and some of them are quite user-friendly. They give you little traffic lights and say whether your page is optimized for SEO. Okay, so those are the rough kind of things we should be looking at. And can we give people a guide on price for when you're looking at a base just setup? We're not talking about maintenance yet, but like a base setup, what should schools be looking at?
Well, your hosting can range anywhere from $12 a month to $40 a month, really. And that's just for basic hosting. There's various other levels of hosting and we could talk for hours about it, really. But for a basic web host, you're looking at about $40. WordPress is free, obviously. Plugins, there are plenty of free plugins and there's also paid plugins.
Yeah, cool. So other than the hosting, what are the other little costs that might be sort of stung in the tail for school marketers?
Probably the main one would be the domain. So that's your www.school.com.au.
Great website.
And that can be up to $20 for a year. So the domain's actually fairly cheap.
Yeah, okay. Just to round out that conversation about plugins, I suppose it's making sure that you've got only the necessary ones, isn't it? I mean, we don't want to see websites really bogged down with plugins either.
That's right. As you add more plugins to your website, basically adding more variables because they all have to play together along with WordPress and your hosting. So the more plugins you add, basically the more risk you have of something going wrong with the website. So if you don't really need a plugin, I'd probably avoid it.
Yeah, cool. No, that's awesome. So I suppose where school websites really step out from the pack is when it comes to content. So we're talking about imagery, talking about the kind of copy. John, what are the kind of things you should be looking at from a copy text standpoint when you're looking at putting together a great website?
Yeah, so your copy, which is just industry speak for text or writing, is like one of the most important things other than your imagery and your video and your media on your website. So you need to support your school's messaging and know what you're trying to communicate when you are writing copy for your website. So if one page on your website is all very casual and says, you know, we're a school that loves these things, like let's just say we love thing A, and then the other page of your website says, it's very formal and says, oh, we're all about this thing B, and then another page, and like, you know, the whole thing's got to support one another and support your messaging. And it has to be consistent across your website. And really your messaging should be consistent throughout all of your messaging everywhere, but especially on your website. And you need to write with your audience in mind. So make sure you know who you're writing to, who you're trying to talk to, and who you're trying to communicate to.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a question that I suppose when it comes to website copy is talking about, is it written with SEO in mind? And that's something we hear a lot about. Has it got the right keywords? Something that I've been wondering about is, are schools too worried about SEO? And that's a very open floor topic, but something that I kind of wanted to ask on in this deep dive. I mean, we see a lot of schools kind of worrying about their copy, but we know quite often for schools that it's a location-based search, isn't it? I mean, you're not competing in terms of brands of shoes.
That's a really good point, actually. Not something that I've really put too much thought to before. But now that you mention it, it's true. Like, schools are quite location-based, and a lot of the marketing for schools is word of mouth and like testimonials and that sort of thing. So usually when people are thinking about SEO, they're fast-moving consumer goods companies that are trying to get their message out to as many people as possible all over the place that can go and buy their product from this or there or from anywhere. But with a school, it is in the one spot. So yes, I think it's definitely important to talk about SEO and to think about SEO, but maybe not quite as important as some other markets.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so for SEO then, if you're building your website, Christian, what are the things that you should bear in mind? From my point, I don't think schools should get really too bogged down with thinking about the search engine optimization when they're building a beautiful new site. But what are the things that they should be kind of looking out for?
Yeah, well, when you're thinking about SEO, you can do all the basics. So your on-page SEO, that's including certain keywords and making sure it's readable. But as you're saying, it's not super important anymore. If you're going to go all in with SEO, you're probably looking at something more like an inbound program with pillar pages and topic clusters. I think we've spoken about this before on the podcast, and we're certainly going to talk about it again in the future. It's a message conversation. But yeah, I think there's a lot of basics you can do with SEO on page, but it's not super important.
Yeah, there's the basics will take you up a certain level, but then it's once you want to get like to real high levels of SEO, the level, like the amount of effort you need to put in gets exponentially like greater.
Yep, for sure. Okay. So that's copy, that's SEO. Imagery. So something that's really going to make your school website pop is going to be having some great, whether it's photos or whether it's video. So what can we be looking at on a homepage? I mean, a great image or a promotional video that's been used for something else. How can you optimize your imagery? Christian, what are the kind of things that we'd be looking at for uploading imagery to a website?
Well, the imagery, it affects your page load speed. So as well as having really good imagery, you really want that to be optimized. So don't upload a 5,000 pixel image for something that's only going to be 300 pixels wide.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. So what are the kind of tools that we can be looking at for school marketers that they can quickly optimize their images?
We were talking about plugins before. There are plugins that will do that, but you can certainly do that offline before you upload your images. If you're on Mac, there's a program called Image Optim, and that's super easy to use. You just drop your image in, it optimizes it, decreases the file size, and you can set your optimization level as well. But you also want to resize your images before that, and all operating systems have that capability built into their image viewers.
Yeah, cool. Something that I suppose now that you've got your imagery up, you've got the right copy up, everything's set up, what should schools be keeping in mind from a maintenance standpoint? So they've got this site, what do they need for backups, ongoing support? What are the things that school marketers should be looking out for?
Yeah, so I was talking about backups earlier when we were talking about hosting, but a good backup system is really easy to use. And that's super important because if you install a plugin and suddenly the website breaks, you want to be able to jump into your hosting and instantly restore your last backup and also regular backups. So a good web host will have at the very least daily backups, and some better ones will have hourly even.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, well, that's our rough take on a deep dive onto school websites. So if you do have a future deep dive topic that you would like us to get into, then please tweet us. So SMC_podcast, or you can email us, which is smc@image7.com.au.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
So now we're on to our question of the week. And since we've made this a regular segment in our SMC podcast, we've had plenty of questions coming through about all different manners of school marketing. So please keep them coming and we will try and slowly chip our way through them each episode. This question for this week comes from Diane in WA, and the question is about photo shoots. So the question is, what should you look for when trying to organize a photo shoot? What is a reasonable price to pay? So I suppose we'll answer this more from an organization standpoint of a photo shoot, as opposed to a on the day, how do I actually manage an effective and successful photo shoot? So the thing that jumped off the page straight away for me was making sure that you're going to get what you pay for. And what I mean by that is that imagery is probably one of the most important marketing assets that you can have. It flows on to everything, whether it's your school websites, we just said, or whether it is your new prospectus or a new brochure. Imagery is super, super important. So when you're looking at whether you should get a professional in or whether you're looking at a volunteer coming in with an SLR, what are the kind of benefits that you're going to get from a professional that you just wouldn't from someone who hasn't really had that experience shooting in an educational area?
Yeah, the benefits are of a professional that has education experience, something that you won't realize until afterwards when you're actually using those images. When you say you get what you pay for, that is just so true and couldn't be more true in this setting. So a professional with educational experience is going to know things like make sure all the kids' ties are straight, or make sure that, you know, there are no kids misbehaving in the background, or frame the shot, which means that you can use it for advertising because there's usable space above the children and that sort of thing. Like there's all these tiny things that go into it that you wouldn't have to think about outside of an educational setting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose a lot of things can be fixed in post-production. I mean, if you've got a load of photos that come through, yes, occasionally if you've found your hero image and you need to straighten a tie, it can be done. But having someone there that really gets schools and gets kids will understand what needs to go into it to get a successful shot. Christian, I mean, if we're looking at portfolios, getting an understanding of what they've done before is obviously really important, but why might an assistant for a photo shoot be important?
Yeah, so an assistant, while it's really important to have a photographer that has that education experience so they know to look for certain things, sometimes they can get sort of caught up in the moment and then focusing more on the quality of the image rather than the actual subject's demeanor and uniform. So an assistant on the day can help keep the students in line, keep their uniforms looking good, their hair looking good, and also keep the day's schedule on track.
Yeah. Quite often the assistant is also a photographer themselves. So yes, when the bill comes through or a quote comes through from a photographer, you might be going, oh, I can do the assistant's job. Whereas actually it's a lot more than just sort of crowd management. They've also got a really good eye for detail. So it's important. It's something that you should consider if your budget allows to allow for an assistant on the day. Okay, so portfolio, what's their previous experience look like? Are they going to be bringing an assistant along? I suppose thinking about the shoot size. So John, if you're organizing a photo shoot, whether it's going to be one day or 2 day, I suppose it's important to make sure that you're not biting off more than you can chew in a 1 day shoot.
Yeah. So when you're doing your shoot, you want to give yourself enough time to get all the different elements of your school that you want photographed. You want to give yourself enough time to do that basically. So you can plan a shoot and you can be like, all right, we need 1 day. We're going to spend 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, 15 minutes here. And then we'll get through every little section of the school. We're going to go do maths. We're going to go to sport. We're going to go look at the music auditorium. But you'll find that on the day, stuff will come up, you'll get held up, things will get in the way, and then all of a sudden you're 15 minutes behind and then you haven't got to the music auditorium and you're like, oh no. And so it's definitely worth giving yourself a bit more time than you need to get yourself the good shots.
And quite often the good shots come up very organically. You might be just in the environment, you might have only allocated, oh, I don't know, 5-10 minutes to be shooting in the playground, but actually you're getting some really, really good stuff and some really natural stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I was on a photo shoot last year where we had the day planned out pretty well. And at about 9 o'clock, as the students were all arriving and heading to class, the photographer was just walking around and getting amazing shots of just kids talking to each other, just in their element, nothing staged or posed. And some of those photos are some of the best ones in the shoot.
Yeah, for sure. There you go. Mm. I mean, in terms of looking at cost, when that quote comes through, these are all things that are going to bear in mind. Diana, sorry, I'm not going to give you a dollar amount on how much you should pay, but it's more things that should go into consideration, I suppose. It's making sure that you put aside enough time, making sure that you're getting a professional that has the right experience, also shoots in the right kind of style that you're looking for. If you know what the feel of the school branding is, then you want to make sure that you've got a photographer that's going to complement that style. And I suppose ideally making sure that you are fitting in with your budget accordingly. So Thank you very much for sending in your question, Diane. If you'd like to know more about SMC or you'd like any other questions, then please make sure you email us at smc@image7.com.au and we will try our best to answer them. Or, of course, tweet us at @SMC_podcast.
This is SMC. It's insight applied.
And now we're on to our rants and raves. And today I'm talking about an article from Joe Lazuskas. Apologies if I butcher that name. Talking about the limits of a top funnel mindset. This is super, super important for schools. So it's not really a rave. It's more just an agreement. So basically in Joe's article, he's talking about the typical sales funnel. So moving from awareness to interest, consideration, preference, and then purchase, but saying that really modern marketing needs to move beyond that, move beyond the purchase stage to support loyalty and advocacy. And this is something that is completely on par with what we've been talking about for school marketing. So for schools, we go past that purchase stage, don't we? I mean, the things that we can look to really bring in that word of mouth is something that's really important in this kind of modern era and a tool that we can use social media for.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's so important that we don't just think of the nurturing and lead process too as something that happens before the parent enrolls their child in the school. Supporting them after the fact with good content, good communications is so important, and it makes them feel like they're a part of the school and makes them feel more important and more valued, basically.
Yeah, for sure. And we've got obviously great automation tools that more and more school marketers are using. But Christine, it's important as well to use that, to have that element of human touch throughout the process, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You can automate all your emails and everything for the entire year, but generally you can tell if you're getting an automated email. So it's important to chuck in a phone call or write a personal email that addresses their specific circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want to handhold through that process of, yes, the purchase stage. But for schools, we want to get our community into an advocacy stage. That's where really fostering your old boys or old girls or alumni network really comes in, because, John, it's a word of mouth service, isn't it?
Yeah, testimonials are going to be like one of your best friends in terms of advertising and, yeah, just advertising your school and just and getting new students in. People trust people. Like, people listen to people. Like, if my friend comes and says to me, like, oh, this great thing happened at my kid's school the other day, I'm going to think, that sounds good. And that's going to be much more convincing than maybe if I see a small ad or something on Facebook for a school, I'm just going to go, oh, that looks nice. But when someone says this really great thing happened at this school, that's impressive.
So fostering time to make sure that you've maybe siphoning away some of the marketing budget away from advertising to actually spend more time on fostering community groups.
Yeah, that's right. Storytelling is such a massive part of creating a meaningful connection these days with your target audience. So it's really important to put some time towards that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Okay, well, that is our rant and our rave for this week. Obviously, handhold through that process. It's very important to get our parents through to the advocacy stage, and something that we've been championing a lot on this podcast.
This is SMC. It's insight applied.
That almost brings us to the end of episode 153 of SMC. I have been ranting and raving about our school marketing social media survey. So if you haven't taken part already, please visit image7.com.au/survey. If you're listening from the Image 7 website, why not pop over now to your favorite podcast player for your fortnightly dose of school marketing and communications goodness. Search for SMC, School Marketing and Communications, and I'm sure you'll find us there. If you've got any questions, comments, or different deep dive topics or rants and raves, please email us at smc@image7.com.au or tweet us at @SMC_podcast. So that is it from this episode of SMC. From Christian, Jiggles, and myself, Charlie, thanks very much and bye for now.
Bye.
See ya.